Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz tie the series at one apiece, 141-129, as two of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Don't get any stops. We'll try to figure out how this happened, and what it means for the rest of the series as the Jazz have evened it up at one apiece here on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by our good friends at grip6.com. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 15% off, as well as our friends at Biograss, where you can get the big yellow bag to make your garden absolutely perfect. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you a $40 discount as well. That's at bigyellowbag.com. All right, Ron Boone, let's start with your takes here on Postcast.
Well, I have a question there first, because if I'm looking at and remembering how the game was called in game one, a little more physical, and tonight, what we have between the two teams, at least 50 fouls called. So it was a little tighter tonight, which means that the Memphis Grizzlies did not have their way probably in this basketball game like they did in game one. Now, the flip side of that is that neither team was able to stop each other because of that, thinking maybe fouls or getting in the foul trouble, that type of thing. It was only one quarter between the eight quarters that a team shot under 50%, and that was the second quarter by the Memphis Grizzlies when they shot 46%. So, as you mentioned earlier, who can stop who in this ballgame?
I mean, this was really incredible. 141 is the most points ever scored by the Jazz in a playoff game, but they also allowed 43 points in the third quarter, which is the most points they've ever allowed in a playoff game. And it's representative of the fact that neither team could get any stops, and these are two of the best defensive teams in the league. Jazz number one in non-blowout time, Memphis number seven, and yet the Jazz don't have an answer for Ja Morant, and Memphis didn't have an answer for Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, kind of some double pick and roll, some really creative stuff by Quinn Snyder and the coaching staff late in the game. They didn't have that answer either.
Yeah, that's what's going to be so puzzling about what kind of game plan can both coaches, and I'm sure they're going to be up at night watching film, trying to figure out something and you know, who they can take advantage of, who they can't, what side to run the pick and roll on. I mean, it's a lot of work to be done as far as coaching is concerned. But this is going to be a task because I don't think either team, especially with Donovan in the lineup now, can stop each other from scoring.
Donovan Mitchell back today. What was his impact?
It was huge. I thought the way he started the ball game off, got the team off to a very, very good start. An extra ball handler, a guy that could take the ball out of Joe Ingles' hands there for a moment, you know, for a little bit, to the point where they're not focusing on him. It was just huge. It just shows why he's the star of this basketball team.
And let's talk about Mike Conley, because he was magical. 7 fourth quarter assists. He has 20 points and 15 assists. The last time a point guard did that for the Jazz in the playoffs was John Stockton. Mike and Rudy late in the game. Thank goodness, because the Jazz couldn't get stops, and luckily they were scoring every time down.
Yeah, that's what's so impressive, I think, by Mike Conley. You know, he's really developed a relationship there with Rudy with the pick and roll. They had a number of those, especially going to the sideline, catching Rudy going to the basket. But he's also that threat from the three-point line. I mean, so you go underneath on him, he's going to take the three-point shot. So he's that triple threat type player that can be very explosive, especially if you're able to keep him on the floor.
Jazz 3-point shooting, which was not good the other night, was amazing tonight. Kind of what you get, 19 of 39, and that's what largely won them the game. We do need to talk about Ja Morant, because this game nationwide will be the Ja Morant game. He has really become a massive star in this. We're watching. He did not check out in the second half of this game.
47 minutes.
He was 43 minutes. 47 points. 20 free throws. I have not seen an answer yet. And to me, the most important play of the game was the one time Rudy stepped out to deal with him. He lobs it over. Valanciunas gets a dunk. Valanciunas is very much the key to this. He's such a beast that you have to stay attached to him. And if you don't, he's scoring. And, you know, a huge part of this game, by the way, we haven't mentioned, is foul trouble. Very similar to the last game. Foul trouble probably has dictated this entire series thus far more than anything else. But, I mean, and, you know, Ja's relentlessness, like attacking the rim, going at Rudy. You know, Rudy gets one great block, which can be the highlight for all the times in which we argue that Rudy gets victimized by someone dunks on him, and then we never show the highlights of Rudy's 23 times he stopped him. Tonight's going to be the other way. The highlight that's going to be played is Rudy's block. The truth is, John Morant was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. He did get his shot blocked, but that doesn't stop him from going in and challenging the big guy there. You know, you get your shot blocked, so what? I'm going to come back at you, and that's exactly what he did a couple of times. But how teams are going to stop each other, that's the mystery. Morant is just unbelievable, even though he was running on fumes there at the end of the basketball game, because he was definitely tired. But the key, as you just mentioned, the foul trouble early gave the Jazz some cushion to the point where the Grizzlies was playing uphill for the rest of the ball game. They let it all hang out there in that third period, but, you know, you get so far, you hit that wall, and the Jazz was able to extend their lead.
All right, let's get to some of your questions and get some of your takes. Josh Daniel says, Josh scored 47. We went, I'll take it any day. We watch the match, the energy, and hit the threes. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, though. Trying to hit 19 of 39 threes is not an easy task either. Now, him getting 47s, I don't think either team can match what they did offensively again in this series. I mean, there's just both teams were so incredible offensively. I'm sure that there'll be some regression to the mean in the next few games.
Hey. This is the playoffs, David. You just have to try to figure out what's going to happen in the next basketball game. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are very well coached. It says a lot for a head coach, but you know, you got to remember, you got assistant coaches that put together game plans there as well that you know, to give them the team a boost.
And maybe the most truthful comment coming from you two, going to be a tough series. I would really agree on this. I did not see anything that tells me the Jazz are running away from any games in this series. I did not see anything that says to me that the Jazz have some like answer on the Grizzlies that the Grizzlies don't have an answer back for. This Grizzly team's won 8 of their last 10 now, and that starting lineup they have is good. Like that starting lineup they have is plus 19 when it's on the floor, and you can see why.
Exactly. They're very explosive offensively. Very explosive. And just think, Jaren Jackson has not come to life yet. I don't know how well or how healthy he is or how close he's back from being the kind of player that he was last year. But he's you kind of expect him to start having a pretty good basketball game. Now, the two teams will go again, Saturday?
Saturday.
A little time now to try to figure things out.
All right, let's go back to some more comments and questions. Why do we never try a zone, says Mr. Smith?
We did talk about that before during the course of the basketball game, and you came up with?
Well, they're third or fourth best team in the league against the zone, and our man defense is better, but I would assume we might try it. Why aren't the Jazz doing to Morant the play-in teams did? Let him shoot and stop fouling him. He was 2 of 7 from three. Let him shoot and sag off. He was really 2 of 5. The two threes were late. Del Toledo was actually a decent – after I gave you such a hard time the other night, you're pretty good tonight, my guy. Way to fire back. The one problem with going under on him is, one, he steps back and shoots the three, which he actually
That's not very good during the course of the year.
He got better, though. In the last 20 games, straight away, he was 15 of 35. So that gets to be about 40%. So now that's all of a sudden the wrong math on that. If he's taking that straight away and he's figured it out, that might be it. The other one. The other one is you're trying to drive him into Rudy, but the fact that Rudy's occupied by Valanciunas means maybe you're going to change that a little bit and change that up. You're a little bit trying to get him into this like floater zone mid-range stuff, so he's not making threes and you're not supposed to be fouling. So he was just incredibly aggressive in his approach. They're going to have to change something up. He had 47 points.
What we don't know, I know before the ball game we talked about trying to keep him on the sidelines, but you know, these players nowadays are so good, if you force them sidelines, they work their way back to the middle of the floor, because if you're going over the top, they're going to put you on their backside and keep you there till they get to their spots. I mean, it's awfully hard to keep players going one direction, especially if they can dribble with both hands. You know, they did it with Joe Ingles. He's not very good going to his right with his right hand. But, you know, you can't do that to guys like John Morant.
Robert on YouTube says, great win, loved every minute. There were those moments they looked stagnant, but they had great chemistry. Rudy's defense is out of the world. I see the Jazz still in 5. I'd be surprised by that. I mean, if they win both games in Memphis, they'll win in 5, I think. I like it. I'd be surprised at this point. Maybe you get it in six. I don't feel like we're about to go to, you know, Donovan's back. We're better. But that was an impressive performance on their part and their fight and their ability to come back at. I mean, definitely Donovan did all the things we thought he was going to do, Ron, which is that they gave us extra ball handlers, gave us extra things to, you know, to be able to attack them with. And I think we should be able to. I don't know. We go 19 of 39 from three. We should be able to continue to score.
Well, I think as long as they get those open looks like that, and that's another thing that Donovan helped with because of his dribble penetration, the fact that, you know, he's so good off the dribble. The Jazz had more open threes. I thought let's put it this way. I thought the Jazz had more quality three-point shots tonight than they did in game one, even though the Jazz were able to get up, 39 threes in the first ball game. But I thought the quality of threes that they were able to get up tonight was much better than in game one.
All right, that wraps up Postcast Locked On Jazz. We'll come in tomorrow. It's Thursday, so we'll probably do a live show. So many of you are welcome to join us. Throw your questions I didn't get to here. Thanks for joining us for Postcast. It's late. We got to go to bed. Way past Ron's bedtime.
After 10:30? Oh, yes.
Way past Ron's bedtime.